This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
President Trump said it's not the right time for trade negotiations with China.
Investors bet that Canada won't be frozen out of a new NAFTA deal.
We're tracking the global markets following another record close for U.S. stocks.
And Toyota is along for the ride. Share is investing in Uber.
President Trump made his first formal statement concerning the death of Senator John McCain. Plus, it's primary day in three states, including Arizona. I'm Michael Barr. More coming up.
I'm John Stash, Sharon Sports. The Giants and Odell Beckham have agreed on a new mega contract. Mets and Yankees both lost to Chicago teams. Top seed Simona Halep upset on opening day at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are drifting this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, a little changed. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures up 7. DAX in Germany, little change, shows the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained less than 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $69 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.30 to $12.1940 an ounce. The euro, $1.1691, and the yen, 111.09. Bob.
We begin with global trade. Our first stop, Asia, where President Trump is denting hopes for a deal with China. Bloomberg's Jody Schneider begins our team coverage in Hong Kong.
President Trump doesn't think it's the right time for trade negotiations with China, lowering expectations for a near-term deal even after he had a breakthrough agreement with Mexico. His remarks are the latest in recent weeks to suggest he doesn't see a quick end to the trade tensions with China. Even though last week China had come to the U.S. for trade talks, they left without much visible agreement. It is also clear that the issues with China on trade are much tougher than they were with Mexico. Jody Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
All right, Jody, thank you. This all comes after President Trump said he'll end NAFTA after reaching a new deal with Mexico. We continue our team coverage live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. After months of negotiations, President Trump announced the United States and Mexico have agreed on revisions to parts of the soon-to-be-replaced North American Free Trade Agreement, but the negotiations with Canada are still ongoing. The president says we'll see if Canada can be part of the deal. The White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says the president did speak with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau yesterday. The message was simple.
Canada, come to the table. Come to the table. Let's make a great deal like we just made with Mexico. But if not, USA may have to take action.
The U.S.-Mexico partial deal puts new pressure on Canada, but that country is not without leverage. Canada is the top buyer of U.S. exports. The Canadian foreign minister will be in Washington for talks today. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Bob.
Thank you, John. Optimism over the agreement with Mexico helped lift U.S. stocks to another record. Both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed at record highs. David Madden is a market analyst for CMC Markets in London.
The rally in the U.S. has buoyed global sentiment. Trade has been a major issue hanging over financial markets in recent weeks and months, and the breakthrough between the United States and Mexico has given investors something to cheer about. Adding to that, the slide in the U.S. dollar in recent sessions has also made U.S. stocks all the more attractive to international investors, and that's why I think the rally in U.S. equity markets is going to continue.
Wall Street strategists are adjusting their targets following the rally. We saw the S&P 500 close just under 2,900. Michael Purvis at Wheaton and Company increased his forecast to 3,000 from 2,850, less than a week after Manish Dipand at Barclays boosted his projection by 100 points to the same level.
In Europe, UK Prime Minister Theresa May has struck an upbeat tone about leaving the EU without an agreement. That's as she heads to Africa to seek out new trading partnerships. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek is live in London with more. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yeah, Theresa May telling reporters that Britain could still make a success of a no-deal Brexit. That comment contrasting, though, with a gloomy outlook from her Chancellor. Last week, Philip Hammond said that failure to secure an agreement would cut 7.7% of projected economic output and add £80 billion to government borrowing by 2033. And the market seemed to disagree with May as well. The pound fell versus the dollar, although it has since reversed those losses. And the Prime Minister is in South Africa today. She kicks off a five-day visit to three different African nations, all trying to forge ties ahead of Brexit and create new trading partnerships. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Europe is trying to keep the World Trade Organization from becoming irrelevant in the midst of an escalating trade war. Bloomberg has learned that the EU will host trade ministers from the U.S. and Japan next month. It's part of an effort to address China's trade practices in a way that doesn't marginalize the WTO. President Trump has called the organization unfair to the U.S.
High-end jeweler Tiffany & Company is scheduled to post its quarterly results today. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Forecasts for Tiffany are upbeat. Bloomberg Intelligence says second quarter same-store sales may match estimates for a 6.2% gain. Sales in China have been strong. There was a resurgence in tourism in the spring, and Tiffany focused on newness. It is noted that tourism slowed going into the second half, so that benefit could fade. Analysts think Tiffany will post a profit of $1.01 a share on revenue topping $1 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Toyota is betting that a partnership with Uber will help it catch up in the race to develop self-driving cars. The Japanese automaker is investing $500 million more in the ride-hailing service. As part of the deal, Toyota will build minivans loaded with Uber's self-driving technology.
The private equity firm Apollo Global Management has agreed to buy Aspen Insurance Holdings for $2.6 billion in cash. The price represents about a 7% premium to Aspen's closing price yesterday. Private equity firms have been buying up insurers to gain access to their premium income. They're betting they can use it to generate higher returns. Futures this morning, again, little changed. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures up 12, NASDAQ futures up about 11 now. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:07 on Wall Street, the outrage over an honor for John McCain. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Under pressure from both sides of the aisle, the White House has re-lowered its flag to half-staff in honor of late Senator John McCain. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager in Washington reports President Trump has also issued a proclamation in memory of McCain.
The president's statement reads, in part, despite our differences on policy and politics, I respect Senator John McCain's service to our country. The White House had raised its flag to full staff a day after McCain's death, while flags elsewhere in Washington remained lowered, including at the U.S. Capitol, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I consider it our privilege to return some small share of the love that John poured out for this country.
The president says he's asked three cabinet members to represent him at McCain's funeral this weekend at the U.S. Naval Academy. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Primaries take place today in three states, including Arizona. Three Republicans are running for the GOP nomination to fill the seat being vacated by retiring Senator Jeff Flake, including Kelly Ward. Hours before McCain's death Saturday, Ward suggested on Facebook that McCain ending medical treatment was time to hurt her campaign, commenting that, quote, they wanted to have a particular narrative that is negative to me. In Phoenix yesterday, Ward blamed the media for the controversy while apologizing for her comments.
The intention of my comments were in no way directed at Senator McCain or his family.
Joe Arpaio and Martha McSally are also running for the Republican nomination. They'll likely face Democratic Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema, the first openly bisexual person elected to Congress. Oklahoma and Florida also hold primaries today. Divorce filings from the parents of the suspect in a deadly shooting at a Florida video game tournament say that as an adolescent, he was twice hospitalized in psychiatric facilities. That's according to court records in his home state of Maryland, reviewed by the Associated Press. Authorities say 24-year-old David Katz opened fire Sunday at a gaming bar in Jacksonville, killing two people and wounding 11 others before fatally shooting himself. Thousands are expected to pour into Detroit's Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History today and tomorrow to pay their final respects to Aretha Franklin, who died August 16th of pancreatic cancer at age 76. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Steshower.
Good morning, Bob. The deal is done. Odell Beckham Jr. not going anywhere despite that offseason statement from Giants owner John Mara that after a 3-13 season, no one is untouchable. The Giants know what they have with Beckham. When healthy, he can win games for them. So they've made Beckham the NFL's highest paid wide receiver, a 5-year extension for $95 million with $65 million guaranteed. Coming off a leg injury, he's yet to play in the preseason but is expected to go in the season opener. Jets coach Todd Bowles asked if his team is ready.
You always feel good because you ain't played a game yet. So, but from a chemistry standpoint, I feel very good. But we got some ways to go before we get to the opener, before we get settled into who we are. So we just got to keep our heads down and keep working. But I like the team.
Bowles is expected to announce that rookie Sam Darnold will be his opening day starting quarterback. A dud for the Yankees at the stadium. They had only three hits. They committed three errors. They got outscored by the White Sox 6-0 after a Gleyber Torres two-run homer. Chicago won 6-2, and the Yanks fall 6.5 games behind the idle Red Sox. The Mets lost at Wrigley to the Cubs 7-4. A year ago, Serena Williams became a mother last night. Her first U.S. Open match in 2 years. She won in straight sets. Her sister Venus won earlier in three sets. If they both win tomorrow, they'll play each other on Friday. The big story yesterday, the top seed Simona Halep, who won the French Open, lost to Kaya Kanepi. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanton. Bob?
Thanks, John. More than 20,000 people descended on a peninsula near Carmel, California this weekend as car collectors and enthusiasts alike gathered for the spectacle of metal that is the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance. With the Pacific Ocean as a backdrop, vehicles from decades gone sat alongside new entries in the luxury market, all competing for the attention of the automotive world. The Concours is the climax of a week of major car auctions, and this year, according to Hagerty results, preliminary sales totals reached $368 million, a 12% increase from last year. S&P futures up a single point. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to higher this morning, a day after the S&P 500 rose to a record as investors digest the latest developments on global trade. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 2 points, Dow futures up 19, NASDAQ futures up 13. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury, little change, yields 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 17 cents to $69.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.20 to $12.19.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1689, the yen, 111.10. Today we are watching for reports on wholesale inventories at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9, it's home prices from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller. And consumer confidence is out at 10. Best Buy, Tiffany & Hewlett Packard Enterprise, among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The death of Senator John McCain is shadowing today's primary contests in Arizona. Voters are picking candidates to replace McCain's fellow Republican Senator Jeff Flake. Primaries are also being held in Florida and Oklahoma. President Trump made formal comments on McCain's death, saying he appreciates everything the senator did for this country. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost, along with the A's, the Orioles, Nationals, and Giants were winners. In tennis at the U.S. Open, a huge upset as top seed Simona Halep was eliminated in the opening round. The Williams sisters advanced. For the men, Andy Murray and Rafael Nadal moved on to round two. In the NFL, the Giants signed wideout Odell Beckham to a $95 million contract, making him the highest paid receiver in the league. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalist and analyst in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. Now, 519 on Wall Street. No trade deal with Canada in sight. Questions about no trade deal with China in sight, I should say. Questions about Canada's future in NAFTA as the U.S. makes a bilateral deal with Mexico. What's the future for global trade? We're joined now live by Carsten Brzeski, ING, chief economist in Frankfurt. Good morning and welcome. Let's start with China. President Donald Trump says it's not the right time for trade negotiations with Beijing. The implication there from Mr. Trump seems to be that we've got time to let this simmer. Just for the record, negotiations between the U.S. and China have been stalled since May. Can this question be left open for much longer before it starts to put a real drag on the global economy?
I think it can still be left open until the midterm elections in the U.S. I think that's what President Trump is intending to do, because the negative effect on the global economy is not that strong yet. I think it's mainly costing profit margins of producers, but consumers are not yet actually feeling the adverse effects of the trade tensions.
What about the fact that China has sort of been left out in the cold while the U.S. makes this agreement with Mexico? Is that of concern at all?
I think currently not. It's not, because I think China is still following up its 2025 strategy. So they are doing everything they can to do more domestic investment. They do still more to invest in high-tech in industries. And they want to become really a completely developed economy. So therefore, the tariffs imposed on Chinese products in the U.S. right now, they do a little bit of pain, but not enough, and clearly not enough to divert the long-term strategy of the Chinese government.
And I can ask the same question about Canada. Canada is also left out in the cold while the U.S. Agrees to sign this deal with Mexico. Canada is the biggest trading partner for the U.S. Is that a concern?
I think for Canada, it is a concern, even though, as far as I understand it, the current NAFTA agreement, you know, is still on, so which means Canada can still do trade based on the NAFTA agreement. But obviously, if we would move along and if then NAFTA would be stopped and we get this new bilateral agreement between the U.S. and Mexico, Canada be left out, then it would be an issue for Canada. But honestly, I think that we will also get Canada involved in this bilateral agreement, so to make it a trilateral agreement. And then you have a new NAFTA, which only changed its name.
You seem to be reflecting the view of the markets that there isn't a lot of worry just yet about all of these trade issues sort of hanging over us. At what point do they become a concern?
I think right now they really look like a kind of illusionary giant. So, you know, kind of spreading lots of fear in the beginning. But then when you look really on what happened on paper, the tensions between the U.S. and Mexico, you know, they have almost been resolved. When you look at the tensions between the U.S. and the EU, remember we had Mr. Juncker going to Washington, D.C. This summer. And then also afterwards, the tension somehow disappeared. So what would be needed? Clearly a real escalation in actual tariffs. So if the U.S. were to further escalate the tariff war between China and the U.S., or if the U.S. were to impose really more tariff on European goods, then we would see that it would have an impact on the global economy. But right now, it's really more fear than leaving significant marks in the economy.
Let me look at this from the other side of the question, and that is, what is the state of the global economy right now that seems to be underpinning the markets?
I think right now the state of the global economy is much better than its reputation. You know, given all the crises and tensions and fears we've seen over the last couple of months, the state of the global economy is pretty good. U.S. in an extremely impressive shape. When you look at Europe, also much better. And we go into the second half of the year with solid growth and maybe even a small further acceleration in growth in Europe. China, you know, small downside correction, but the overall growth rate is also still very good. Emerging markets, obviously, they got a hit from the Turkey crisis, but I think there we will see probably a differentiation between the good emerging markets and the bad emerging markets, and the good ones should also see a rebound. So overall, the global economy is still in a good shape.
And just about 10 seconds left here, full speed ahead for the Federal Reserve?
Obviously, I think two more rate hikes this year, and then I would say another two next year.
Carson Brzeski, ING Chief Economist in Frankfurt, thank you very much for joining us. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently up 2 points. That is right around 0.1%. Dow futures up 19 points, and NASDAQ futures have added 14 points. 10-year Treasury prices virtually unchanged. The yield at 2.8459%. The 2-year yield, 2.6492%. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 0.25% at $69.05 a barrel. Brent crude at $76.68 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher a day after both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed at record highs. Stocks rallied after President Donald Trump said the U.S. is pursuing a new trade accord with Mexico to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Meanwhile, President Trump says it's not the right time for trade negotiations with China. He told reporters he is rejecting overtures from China to negotiate as he tries to achieve a less, quote, one-sided trade policy.
Get ready for a large helping of U.S. economic data, Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The merchandise trade deficit leads today's list of major economic indicators amid global tension fueled by White House policy. Economists say the trade gap probably widened in July, even with the tough talk. At home, red-hot housing prices probably lost a bit more steam in June. The S&P CoreLogic Home Price Index peaked in March. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index for August is also expected to moderate. The Confidence Index peaked at a 17-year high of 130 in February. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. British Prime Minister Theresa May is signaling that a no-deal Brexit isn't the end of the world. May told reporters on a plane heading to Africa that the UK can still make a success of Brexit if it leaves the European Union without a deal.
Toyota is investing $500 million more in Uber, underscoring the Japanese automaker's efforts to catch up on self-driving technology as General Motors and Alphabet's Waymo lead the race to upend the industry.
The private equity firm Apollo Global Management has agreed to buy Aspen Insurance Holdings for $2.6 billion in cash. The price represents about a 7% premium to Aspen's closing price yesterday.
The lira is sliding for a second day in the absence of signals from policymakers of reforms to address Turkey's economic woes. And checking the lira right now, it is trading at 6.2215 to the dollar.
Meanwhile, futures are little changed to higher. S&P futures up 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 20 now. NASDAQ futures up 15. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up 0.25% or 16 cents to $69.03 a barrel. COMEX gold also gaining up 0.25% as well, up $3.20 to $12.19.20 an ounce. The euro $1.1693, the yen at 111.09. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The president makes a formal statement about a fallen nemesis. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump released a formal statement to recognize late Senator John McCain. Trump returned to the White House and had the flag flown back to half-staff yesterday following a barrage of criticism for ending the tribute to McCain just a day after he died. In a statement, Trump said, despite our differences on policy and politics, I respect Senator John McCain's service to our country. And he added,
our hearts and prayers are going to the family of Senator John McCain. There'll be a lot of activity over the next number of days, and we very much appreciate everything that Senator McCain has done for our country.
Trump's only comment on McCain before was a brief tweet over the weekend. Three states hold primaries today, including Arizona, where voting takes place under sad circumstances, just days after the passing of Senator McCain. Three Republicans, Joe Arpaio, Kelly Ward, and Martha McSally, are running in the primary to replace retiring Senator Jeff Flake. The winner will likely face off in November against Democratic Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema. Oklahoma and Florida also hold primaries today. Special Counsel Robert Mueller wants to introduce certain evidence at Paul Manafort's second trial that the former Trump campaign chairman does not want out. That includes pictures of his ostrich jacket as they try to show how Manafort allegedly earned $30 million for lobbying for Ukraine. The search for answers continues into Sunday's mass shooting in Jacksonville, Florida. Authorities say records on the gunman, 24-year-old David Katz, suggest mental health issues during his parents' divorce proceedings. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed an executive order reinstating speed cameras to New York City public school zones. Because of the executive order, Cuomo says speed cameras will turn back on September 4th, the day before the first day of classes.
It's not a substitute for final passage of a state law that does this permanently, clearly, and as the council speaker said, expands the number of cameras.
The state Senate failed to renew the program this summer. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street, and it is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Along comes John Steshauer. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The Giants served notice at the draft that by taking a running back, Saquon Barkley, who can help them now rather than a quarterback with an eye to the future, they were not in a rebuilding mode despite going 3-13 a year ago. So to win now, the Giants needed to keep Odell Beckham heading into the final year of his rookie contract. He has been extended 5 years, $65 million guaranteed, makes Beckham the NFL's highest paid wide receiver. Giants were pleased that Beckham came to camp rather than holding out like others did. After 4 wins in Baltimore over the weekend, Yankees came home, laid an egg, 3 errors and a lackluster 6-2 loss to the White Sox. Gleyber Torres staked them to a 2-0 lead, but they had only two other hits. Masahiro Tanaka took the loss. Aaron Boone did not blame him.
For the most part, I thought he was on point tonight. I thought early on, I thought he had a split. I thought his slider command was really good. I just thought overall he threw the ball really well, was really efficient. Got in some trouble a little bit there, but overall, I just didn't think we played very clean behind them.
Red Sox were off. They're now 6.5 games ahead. At Wrigley Field, the Mets led early 3-1. The game was tied at 4 in the seventh inning when the Cubs scored twice. Anthony Rizzo homered in the eighth, and Chicago won its sixth game in a row, 7-4. Opening day at the U.S. Open, celebrating 50 years of open tennis. Rafael Nadal won last night when fellow Spaniard David Ferrer had to retire in the second set. The women's top seed, Simona Halep, is already out. Defending champ Sloane Stephens won yesterday. Serena and Venus Williams both advance. If they both win tomorrow, they'll play each other on Friday. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashell.
John, thank you very much. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover story on Harley-Davidson's plans to survive aging customers and President Trump's trade war. Also in this week's issue, America's job market is hot. Here's why wages remain on ice. Gina Smilek wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Basically, what we wanted to do is drill down on an industry level into three areas where we knew there were worker shortages, where we've been hearing about them for years, but where wages really haven't gone up.
Read more about it in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. And it is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Jared Kushner's family real estate business has been fined $210,000 by New York City for falsifying construction permit applications by underreporting the number of rent-regulated tenants in 17 buildings. Kushner Companies filed the false data on 42 occasions since 2013, according to New York's Department of Buildings. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has rejected legislation that would have made it more difficult for him to end a tax reciprocity deal with Pennsylvania. The bill would have required separate legislation to end tax reciprocity agreements, which the state has with PA. It has no such deal with its other neighbors, New York or Delaware. Well, the Connecticut Business and Industry Association has launched a new ad campaign, Fix Connecticut. It's designed to raise public awareness about the issues and challenges that face the state's economic prospects. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you. Now 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, we're talking about the nearly $5 billion in federal aid farmers are getting to compensate for tariff-related losses.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Toyota's investing $500 million more in Uber in a bet on self-driving cars.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Prime Minister Theresa May's assessment that a no-deal Brexit wouldn't be the end of the world.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WFLA listeners in Tampa, Electronic Arts has canceled the three remaining Madden Classic qualifier events after the shooting in Jacksonville.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting shares of Fitbit soared on a report that said the company may have accumulated a gold mine of information on human health.
Thank you all, and those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A union has come out against T-Mobile has proposed $26.5 billion takeover of Sprint. The Communications Workers of America says the deal would cost jobs, threaten competition, and may not speed the arrival of advanced 5G networks. Both the Justice Department and the Federal Communications Commission are scrutinizing the agreement. S&P futures currently up 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury yield, 2.8477%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by the 2018 Range Rover Velar. It brings together elegance and innovation like you've never seen before. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover above and beyond.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are now moving higher along with European shares. This is a day after the S&P 500 rose to a record, and it comes as investors digest the latest developments on global trade. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 31, Nasdaq futures up 15. The DAX in Germany's up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.64%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25%, or 18 cents, to $69.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33%, up $4.20, to $12.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1699, and the yen, 111.08. And today we are watching for reports on wholesale inventories out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9, it's home prices from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller, and consumer confidence is out at 10. Plus, we're getting earnings from companies including Best Buy, Tiffany, and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump has already been busy on Twitter this morning. He tweeted a few moments ago, Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that is good. They are controlling what we can and cannot see. This is a very serious situation that will be addressed. Following criticism from veterans and others, President Trump returned the White House flag to half-staff yesterday for late Senator John McCain. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost, along with the A's, the Orioles, Nationals, and Giants were winners. In tennis at the U.S. Open, a huge upset as top seed Simona Halep was eliminated in the opening round. The Williams sisters advanced. For the men, Andy Murray and Rafael Nadal moved on to round two. In the NFL, the Giants signed wideout Odell Beckham to a $95 million contract, making him the highest paid receiver in the league. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jen Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. Jennifer, good morning. Bloomberg's David Fickling and Johnny Trivedi have taken a look at Trump's Mexico trade deal and pronounced it a lemon. It certainly looks dramatic, they say, but look under the hood, and all these metaphors are appropriate, by the way. It's partly about automobiles, after all. Look closer, and there's less than meets the eye.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And let's take a look at the key elements of it at first, and they really are dramatic. So on the one hand, you have an increase in rules of origin requirements to 75% to avoid import tariffs, and a separate rule that 40% at least of content comes from factories paying more than $16 an hour. That $16 is worth mentioning. It's about twice what Mexican assembly line workers make and four times the average of parts companies there.
And what should we make of the compensation rules?
Well, they're really interesting because there's a lot less there than meets the eye. So almost all non-NAFTA content in Mexican-made cars comes from Germany, Japan, or South Korea, where total compensation really is well above $16 an hour. So we don't have the full details about how this rule will work yet, but unless it relates solely to NAFTA workers, they don't really affect that many vehicles because there's only at least 55%, about 55% of them made in Mexico. The group that gets affected of that is really small. It's about 660,000 units last year, and that compares to about 2.5 million of imports from Mexico.
There must be some good that comes out of this trade deal.
Yeah, I mean, that is one way to look at it. So, you get a nice global equity rally, and there's some relief that this element of uncertainty has been lifted. But if Washington can sell tweaks to existing treaties as historic victories, and that merits a ratcheting down of global trade tensions, then that's good news for all the other intractable trade disputes rumbling around the world.
And John A. Trivedi also writing about Toyota and how it should get over its Uber fascination. The world's biggest automaker seems to be splashing out on the future of the self-driving car.
Yeah, so today Toyota said it's deepening its ties with Uber and investing $500 million and making Sienna minivans equipped with the company's self-driving software. There's also some other transactions going on. There's some affiliated parts companies doing a joint venture to develop software that manages components for automated driving. And a couple of months previously, Toyota put $1 billion into Grab, Southeast Asia's largest ride-hailing provider.
But the thing about this is that this, according to Trivedi, leaves the company looking like there are two Toyotas.
Yeah, there's one that remains squarely focused on cost-cutting and operating within the confines of a struggling world market, and the other is kind of trying to spend its way out of the gloom. So the latest splurges give this impression that Toyota has shedded its conservatism towards advanced technologies. But the hard reality is the cost challenge that it's facing, and it's exacerbated by the slowing U.S. market and the rising prices of materials from American tariffs.
And you can read more about these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN Go. Our thanks to Jennifer Ryan in London. Karen.
It's 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The IRS will expedite the process of sending disagreements with taxpayers to appeals as part of its revamp of a popular real-time auditing program for large corporations. A federal appeals court has ruled that film and TV tax credits are property and thus subject to federal mail and wire fraud laws. This is a victory for states in monitoring fraud in the growing area of entertainment tax credits. And the National Labor Relations Board says employees at a Texas-based telecom did not conduct a slowdown when they stood and stretched in unison at work to signal support for their union.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's take a look at the continuing legal woes for Tesla CEO Elon Musk, who has decided to keep the electric car maker public after previously considering taking the company private earlier this month. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School.
Peter, what do you make of the unraveling of the go private plan in about 18 days?
Well, I don't think there was that much of a chance that he would take Tesla private, given the kinds of companies that we've seen who are taken private have positive cash flow and a growing business. Now, Tesla's business is growing, but it has been burning through cash over the last couple of years, and they can't even seem to hit some of their targets for production. So Was this a likely possibility? Even though Musk said that he could have gotten the funding for it, I really think it was doubtful that the going private was ever really going to happen.
The SEC is investigating Tesla and Musk's going private tweet, plus other things. Will this decision not to go private have any effect on the SEC investigation?
Well, it may have some small effect in that the urgency of the investigation likely is going to be dialed back. Tesla is not going to be taken private, and so there would be a number of fundraising issues related to that. But it certainly doesn't end it, because the impact of his initial tweet back on August 7th drove the stock price up a little over 10%, and you had a number of investors that day who were trading on the basis of that statement, specifically the funding secured statement that he had there, which indicates that the going private was pretty much of a done deal. So I don't think the SEC is going to say, well, you know, never mind, to quote Emily Latella from long ago, that you don't get a do-over on this when you put that kind of information out and it has that kind of an effect on the market. And certainly driving the stock price up 10% is a significant effect.
And that's Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
It is now 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg ETF report. And here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
There was a new crop of Bitcoin ETF applications, and the Securities and Exchange Commission has now rejected all of them. Tom Serafagas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. The ongoing quest continues to get the Bitcoin ETF. So what's the SEC's problems with this latest crop?
Yeah, sure. So this week they denied 9 products from 3 different sponsors, ProShares, Direction Funds, and Granite Shares. Now, these were all futures-based Bitcoin ETFs. One of the main issues that the SEC had is they're still not comfortable with the futures market in Bitcoin. It's still new. There's still not a lot of volume for them to feel comfortable. So that's the basis for the denial.
It's interesting because the SEC has also talked about being concerned about price manipulation, right? Hacking and the like when it comes to Bitcoin. But with futures, you know, it's a regulated market, so you wouldn't think that concern, at least, would be as present.
Yeah, it's not, and I think the main issue is just they want to see more volume there,
right,
on the futures exchanges.
Well, they might not get that till the price of Bitcoin rebounds, if it does rebound, because we have seen not as much interest with the drop in price from Bitcoin.
Yeah, and you can always see the trading fluctuating around these SEC announcements.
Right,
you
know. True enough. All right, Tom Serafagas, thanks so much. With the Bloomberg ETF Report, I'm Julie Hyman.
Julie, thank you. S&P futures are up 3 points this morning. Dow futures up 31. NASDAQ futures up about 16. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 2.84%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 28 cents to $69.15 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.